although it can be uncomfortable to look death in the face, contemplatives and philosophers have been doing that for millennia. Zen Buddhists and Hindu mystics, the hedonists of ancient Greece, the cynics of Rome. When philosopher William Irvin went looking for a philosophy of life, he wandered those obvious paths. And then he stumbled upon the Stoics. Irvin says Stoicism teaches that minding our mortality can help us live a more joyful life.
Stoics thought a lot about death, and when you tell people that, they think that's a horribly morbid thing to do. The thing about death is if you fully realize that your days on earth are limited, it can have the effect of making you want to maximize your use of those days. You want to reach a stage where when you wake up in the morning, it's a cause for excitement and joy.
Yeah, that's really a wonderful thing. It's exactly the opposite of the way an awful lot of people do it. You wake up in the morning and you think, okay, I've got one day less. The end is coming closer. You're saying forget about that. Or not exactly forget about it, but acknowledge it and take joy in the fact that you're still here.
Yeah, and you don't dwell on death. You contemplate it. The contemplation consists of flickering thoughts that go through your mind. Suppose I'm doing something utterly ordinary. Suppose I'm taking a walk with my wife. Simple enough a thing, but while I'm doing it, I find myself trying to imagine what this event will seem like retrospectively. I mean, I can easily imagine a situation where I've outlived my wife, or that I'm old and bedridden in a nursing home and can't walk. And you know what? Under those circumstances, I'd find myself wanting to go back in time to that very walk. And then the thought to return to the present, but here I am, actually experiencing the thing that I someday might really, really wish I could experience.
Do you have much personal experience of death?
Fortunately, not. In the last 5-6 years, a person I knew, he was a rower, and I took up competitive rowing, and he kind of took me under his wing. He basically fell down dead in the street. And it was a very important event in my life, chance to reflect on how that happens. And, you know, if you have friends, you can't count on them being there forever. Contemplating the deaths of friends, which, again, sounds horribly morbid, but it needn't be. It's a flickering thought that goes through your mind that says, you know, I might not see this person again. People fall down dead, or friendships end. And then the most wonderful thing happens when you encounter that person again, and they're still there. It's just a cause, this mini burst of joy.
Aren't we in some senses then tricking ourselves into finding joy? A lot of people would say that it is morbid to think about your death, your friend's death, your wife's death, your parents' death.
I don't mind the phrase tricking yourself at all. Think about how most people pursue happiness. They think that their happiness lies in the external world, and that what's preventing them from being happy is the external world. The Stoic insight is that almost regardless of the external world you find yourself in, if you're in the right frame of mind, that world that you find yourself in can itself be a cause for great joy. And how do you put yourself in that frame of mind? Technical term is negative visualization. Think about somebody that you really love, and now think for 5 seconds about what your life would be like if they were gone. And whenever I do that, I mean, I find it's almost instant little rush of joy that that hasn't happened.
About negative visualization, when you talk about that, you did say think about the death of your friend for 5 seconds. That's the real key, isn't it? You don't dwell on it.
No, you don't dwell on it. That would be a recipe for a life of misery. It's there in your mind, and then it's gone. And I found that that's perfectly enough, you know. My wife will be off at work. She's supposed to be driving home. You know, sometimes I'll have that thought. You know, accidents happen. It's not a worry. It's not anxiety. It's just this thought, because it's true. Accidents do happen. And then when she shows up at the door, that is just the greatest delight there is, because she's here and those things didn't happen. So it works.
What do you do, though, about what does Stoicism help you do when you're faced with real catastrophe? Both my parents are gone, and on both occasions, I don't think I could have done anything about the grief that I felt. I don't think that I could look back on all of the great times I had with them and make that moment of loss any less.
Yeah, grief is a very interesting emotion. It contains anger, contains anxiety, contains regret. The idea is live your present so you won't need to have regrets in the future. And that is if you've got a friendship, if you've got somebody who's very meaningful to you, you don't let opportunities to enjoy the friendship go by. If a person passes away, instead of thinking about your loss, you should think about how much poorer your life would have been if you had never known that person to begin with.
Again, I find myself agreeing with everything you've said. My trouble comes in that everything you're describing is the triumph of reason over gut feeling. And it's not just in the case of death, although I think that's one of the real kicks in the gut that you can't do much about. How do you make reason cancel out base instincts?
Practice, practice, practice would be the answer.
My wife always accuses me of being a Pollyanna, trying to find the positive, look for the glass half full as opposed to the glass half empty. And that's not quite what you're talking about, nor is it, I think, always look on the bright side. But I guess what you're saying a Stoic believes, or a Stoic tries to practice, is recognition of the dark side, but enjoyment of the bright side.
You know, when you talk about the glass half full, glass half empty, a Stoic, if he was atop his game, would not only say that the glass was half full, but he would go on to tell what a wonderful thing it is that glasses exist, that there's this substance called glass that transmits light and doesn't impart bad taste to the thing inside it, and so on. So, you know, if you're characterized as Pollyanna, what would that be? What most people think Stoics advocate is a kind of unemotional response to everything in life. But it turns out most people are wrong. They were anti-negative emotion, so they were very interested in developing strategies to prevent, and if prevention attempts failed, to eliminate negative emotions. They had nothing against positive emotions, though, including that most positive of emotions, joy. Cheerful is the word I would use to describe them.
William Irvin is a professor of philosophy at Wright State University. His book on Stoicism is A Guide to the Good Life.